Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Daily Draft, brought to you by Badger State Brewing in Green Bay, Wisconsin. As you might be able to hear, I'm a little bit under the weather today, but very, very excited to be talking about this year's safety class. Green Bay, of course, acquiring Xavier McKinney, probably a top four or five safety in the league, and certainly the top safety available in the free agent class, but still needing to fill out not only the roster, but frankly, the starting lineup, as we do not know who kind of that second safety is. And very excited to discuss this safety class with none other than the artist formerly known as Tim Watson, Tazeem Wajed. Tazeem, I bring up your name because, of course, you were a safety drafted by the Green Bay Packers in the 90s, and your son Christian plays for the team now, but very, very excited to have you on the show.
Well, I'm excited to be here, man. It's I think, looking forward to what's to come based upon what we've seen. I mean, this team on both sides of the ball, it's going to be exciting here coming forward. And this group of prospects coming out in the draft, you know, I think we need to find at least one or two safeties. So, you know, it's going to be an exciting conversation and evaluation the rest of the way.
I want to get, and we didn't talk about a couple of these things, but I wanted to touch on three things real quick. Two of them might be a little bit of a surprise, but that they just kind of came to mind. First of all, just kind of a, you know, people know you're Christian's dad, obviously. You're, you know, kind of what you've heard, or what, you know, your discussions with Christian on the hamstring and the off season work. And, you know, we talked a little bit before the show. I certainly don't want you to speak out of turn, but, you know, just kind of Christian's progress and how things are going, because, you know, as I've said multiple times, and of course I get, you know, people can see the Bison report sign over my right shoulder. I've known your son since he was 18 years old. That there's a level of bias, both for me and you. Your bias level probably is stronger than mine, but he's their best guy when he's healthy. And frankly, he's, in my opinion, one of the top guys in the league when he's at 100%. So, just an update, if you will, on kind of what he's got going on this offseason.
Well, the part that, of course, everyone was familiar with is that he, as well as Stokes, were going down to Wisconsin to be evaluated, and there was some specialists there. There are also collaborative specialists in other places as well who looked at what they have going on, and did body scans, some pretty in-depth analysis. And to get to the nuts and bolts of what's causing the problem, the fact of the matter is that there were discoveries made as to, well, what these issues are. So where we are now on this side of it is taking what that analysis came up with and putting plans in place, obviously, so we can not have that happen again. I mean, that's what the phase is that Christian is in. Now, obviously, I have no idea what was happening with Stokes, but as far as Christian goes, he is in that process. He's actually working through some of those things that they've been given, his team has been given, to make sure that we can get this rectified and that it's not a recurring issue moving forward. And I mean, thus far, I mean, it's going great. I mean, he's excited. He's really grinding and putting in the work that they've given him in terms of this plan. And, you know, I'm sure at some point, you know, there'll be some more details that he and the Packers will share. But as far as what we know and what we can see in this process, everyone's excited about where we are.
Awesome. That's great to hear. You know, I mean, I've got my Christian bobblehead here, and we're just we're hoping beyond hope that we can get, you know, 15, 16, 17 games this year and see kind of the full scope of what he's capable of. The other things that I didn't let you know we were going to talk about, I guess, want your take on the McKinney signing, because, you know, he's interesting to me. I love the player, obviously. I think the gap for me, was interesting between like his contract and basically every other safety. I think there could have been more, certainly more of a value signing, but at the same time, if that's your guy, whatever. That's your guy, doesn't it?
Well, this is the thing in terms of what I saw on the signing and the reasoning behind going the way they did and making sure they got it done is, if Winfield was not going to be available, then in my opinion, McKinney was by far the best option for this particular team. And it has to do with the role as well as the makeup of the team. I mean, let's look at the direction we have started to go in Green Bay and what we're seeing out of the young players we have on both sides of the ball. Well, McKinney is actually a young and experienced player now. And more than anything, he put on film what I want to see in my eraser. Like, I don't even call him anything else anymore. He's the eraser. And that's what you need at that position in this defense. And if you look at him over the last 4 years, he has been the most impressive safety, when free safety, when put in coverage. And that's the key for your eraser. You need to actually make sure that this guy is going to not just do his job, but sometimes he has to make up for some mistakes that were made in front of him. And I believe McKinney is that guy. The interesting thing is, though, he didn't test as a Packer type when he came out. So how he became a Packer type was actually on the field, meaning in the production and what he was able to do. So I don't mean I don't know if this is just one of those cases where, man, he showed that he's a football player. He's not a combine tester.
Yeah, and they've done that before. You know, Billy Turner would not have been a guy Green Bay probably would have drafted. Za'Darius Smith definitely would not have been a guy that Green Bay would have drafted. But they've shown that once you put it on film at the pro level, they could care less about, you right. know, the athletic profile. Just does that stuff doesn't matter. In fact, I would argue that I don't know how interested they would have been in Josh Jacobs at, you
right,
know,
right. He fits in that category as well. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on the one kind of holdover that I think people view as a guy that is potentially beyond just a special teamer. And Anthony Johnson Jr. is a player that got some defensive run and, you know, a lot of people viewed as a top 100 pick. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, ends up sliding all the way to round 7. Played corner, then played free safety for Iowa State. But what just is your sort of thought? Do they maybe have something in Anthony that could be part of the room moving forward?
I think that Anthony Johnson, what he showed was that he has some flash traits that are going to be usable. He's not there yet. He just wasn't one of those consistently productive guys who you can trust and say, this is a guy that we would look to be one of our starters right now. Can he be? I actually think he has the potential to be. I think he may need another year of more spot duty, showing that he understands this particular defense, because now we're starting from scratch with him even learning the defense as well. Now, I would take the risk more so if we're talking about putting him down in the box, but I wouldn't have him be in the eraser position right now, because that's not what I saw on film. I saw a good player who had some decent instincts, but looked a little lost at times.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, we usually on this show talk about the state of the room, and that's kind of it, right? I think, you know, Benny Sapp, Northern Iowa kid, his dad was a pro. I think we're really more of a special teamer or a depth guy. I don't know that the Packers have long-term plans for Benny Sapp to play defense. I don't know that that's the case. I would say the exact same thing about Zane Anderson. I think Zane is a special teamer. So when we talk about the state of the room, yeah, I mean, if they had a game tomorrow, Anthony Johnson Jr. and Xavier McKinney would be the two starting safeties.
Right.
Thankfully, right. They don't have a game tomorrow.
Right.
Because,
right.
And I mean, I don't know how much, in fact, it's probably better. I don't know how much worse that would be than what they were throwing out there last year. But, you know, I think
it would still be an upgrade over,
yeah,
over last year. I mean, we didn't go backwards in the safety room with just the signing of Xavier alone. I mean, X alone changes the safety room.
Okay. Want to talk about the interchangeability quote from Goody, which was at the NFL Combine, if I'm not mistaken. And you saw some of this because I do remember, like, Nick Collins is the archetype, I think, for a free safety when you're talking about, like, Packers history. And people probably say the same thing about Darren Sharper, though Darren has other reasons that we don't talk about Darren. But there was time, certainly, when Nick was asked to be close to the line of scrimmage and was used as an interchangeable piece. And then there's, of course, the center field stuff, most notably his unbelievable play in Super Bowl 45, where, you know, Howard Green gets a hand on Ben's arm and Nick ranges all the way from the middle of the field to the right sideline, picks it off, goes to the house, and the Packs up 14-0. They end up winning the Super Bowl. With that said, you know, we've talked about, or I've talked about, the single high defense, and, you know, everybody talks about the Legion of Boom. Everybody talks about the way that Seattle did it, and very much so, you know, with a specific free safety in Earl Thomas, and then eventually Quandre Diggs, and a specific strong safety in Cam Chancellor, and then eventually Jamal Adams. And then they had, you know, Byron Maxwell playing nickel, and Kobe Bryant now plays nickel. Not that Kobe, different Kobe, but Kobe Bryant, right, plays nickel for them now. Not interchangeable, in my opinion. I mean, very much not. Like, that's not how they do business. Goody, though, basically said he would like his nickel and his two safeties to be interchangeable and difficult to identify coverages. I think that's a lot to ask, in my opinion. I certainly think giving Keyshawn $6 million a year with no experience at safety, I don't know how he would fit into a quote-unquote interchangeable, you know, aspect. X can play strong or free. Absolutely.
Well, that may answer the question of why X was so high on the priority list, because he absolutely is what we call a rock and roll safety situation, meaning you basically play sides. You never would have to change sides because you can play whatever the position ends up being on your side. You don't have to end up where safeties are running, trying to change strengths or anything like that, because the safeties are rock and roll interchangeable. Now, I'm going to tell you that is also a surprise to me to hear Goody say, because of how impactful that type of defense was with a true free safety and a true strong safety. Cam Chancellor and what was his name? The free safety with
Earl.
With
Cam.
Earl Thomas. They were not interchangeable. I mean, no. those were two completely different type of players with two completely different types of skill sets. And because they mastered, each masters his skill set, they were so good at it. And that, to me, is where I guess am a little hesitant about that statement, making a statement like that being interchangeable. So now what we have a jack of all trades, master of none. I want two masters. I want me a master of the box and a master of the free safety position, of erasing the center field. So That was a surprise to me to hear that one, though.
Baseball season is officially back, and what a heck of a start for those Milwaukee Brewers. But just as we get set to wrap up an epic NCAA tournament, baseball is back, and it's better than ever when pairing it with America's number one fantasy sports app, Prize Picks. I know what some of you are thinking. All of these fantasy sports apps are complicated and hard to understand. That is simply not the case with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is super simple to play. I've literally gone in, found entries that I wanted to select, made my picks, and finished the entire process in under 60 seconds. Also, withdrawals are easy, payouts are easy, and they have an enormous selection of players and stat types to choose from that make the selection process super easy. All right, here's a true story. I did a fantasy baseball draft with my friends this year. Half of my team is already hurt, and I've already used up all of my transactions for the week. It is an absolute nightmare. Normally, I'd be ticked off, but I didn't even bat an eye this year. I didn't care at all because I opened up my Prize Picks app, made all new selections with players that weren't hurt, and if I'm being totally honest, it's a lot more fun this way anyway. This week, I'm keeping an eye on Bobby Witt Jr., Luis Robert, and Julio Rodriguez, three of my absolute favorite baseball players. But enough about me. It's time for you to get in on the fun with Prize Picks. So download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't think that made a ton of sense other than, you know, the rock and roll aspect of maybe the safeties are interchangeable. I mean, unless they really paid Keyshawn to just return kicks, in my opinion, that's not, maybe, I don't know, but I have no proof that he can play safety at all. I have no film that he can play.
I'm going to tell you now that, because I'm still, I mean, I've had now a few different conversations around what are the plans for Keyshawn, right? And it's because we all saw the film, I mean, last year. I mean, you know, so.
You don't tell me.
What are we saying? But this is the deal. We're not in their meetings. We don't know what they're evaluating. We don't know what they see as far as how he translates to Halfley's defense. And it could be a surprise for all of us. I mean, man, Keyshawn also wasn't as physical as a defender as he is as a returner. So I can't see him being a box safety either. So I don't know what that means in terms of when we are looking at the guys that we currently have. I mean, other than Anthony Johnson Jr. and X. I mean, are we talking about rock and rolling then, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Things that Goody likes when we talk about athletic profile stuff. Surprise, surprise, he likes bigger guys. 5'11 plus, 200 plus, that's been, you know, kind of what we've seen. And they prefer guys with a relative athletic score of at least 7.75. That's just a, composite testing based on height and weight score. And right. Then 80th percentile broad, most of the guys that they've taken. And that's safety's not as much of a three cone drill type position, not as much of an agility position. It's, you know, explosives, which is your broad jump, your vertical jump, not necessarily, well, can he high point the football? Cause that's cool with vertical, but your 10 yard split, your broad jump, your vertical jump really actually tell you more about how explosive is this athlete?
Because you need to be quick reactive.
Yes.
That's the type of player. Yep.
Yep. And so the two high fits that I want to talk about, because they, you know, get close to hitting all the numbers and they're frankly one of just a couple of guys that are, you know, high on the consensus board and sort of athletic qualifiers. We'll talk about two guys that Packers fans have kind of fallen in love with throughout the process that maybe some folks made some bad decisions, but we'll talk about, because I want your opinion on Cole Bishop and Jaden Hicks, because those are the two guys that kind of fit everything they need. The Packers have on a number of occasions, and I've talked about this plenty, a lot of trust in their West Coast scouts, Sam Seal, but you talk about, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Cal Berkeley, Clay Matthews, USC, Nick Perry, USC, Dayton Jones, UCLA, Kenny Clark, UCLA, Jordan Love, Utah State. I mean, their West Coast scouts are people that they absolutely have a ton of faith in. I mean, the Kevin King, Washington, I could go on and on. They're big on the West Coast scouts. And so Bishop out of the Pac-12, Hicks out of the Pac-12, your thoughts on these two guys and kind of how they might fit.
You know, at this point in the process, it's not even close with Bishop and the other safeties to me. I mean, I really was blown away by his testing, but his film was what was most impressive to me. Now, the thing that was, I guess, people kept asking about free safety, you know, can he play free safety? I don't think that's where I would want him to play. That dude, to me, is the quintessential box safety. And his, I mean, you can stack it all up. I'm talking about his tackling ability, his instincts, his understanding of angles, his ability to blitz. I mean, this young man, and now we add to that his speed and explosiveness. I believe that Bishop is by far at this point, based upon both film and testing, the best safety in this particular draft. And I believe that if people pass on him, he's going to make them pay, because he's going to be that Harrison Smith type who is going to be able to get other people lined up. He's going to know what he's doing. I mean, this young man is going to be able to play well in the National Football League.
Yeah, and I thought when he got beat, it was mostly because they were using him as a slot corner.
Yeah, I mean, that's not his thing.
And that was more of just like, well, don't do that.
Right.
You know, right. That was when I saw his quote-unquote losses on film, it was a lot of like, well, what are you doing covering that kid with him? You know, that doesn't make any sense. Why are you trying to do that?
We know why now, because he probably was their fastest DB.
Right. Yes.
But that does not equal covering ability, you know, when it comes to man on man in the slot where they can both go two ways. So yeah. You know, now if you take him and you go and compare him, you know, with Hicks, you know, that's where, to me, now Hicks tested, I think, a little better because he didn't run at the combine, but, you know, he ran at his pro day. And I think what did they end up with, like high four fives on him?
High four fours.
Okay. Yeah. So I didn't know he tested that well.
Yeah, 448 was 448, 449 is what was coming out. So even if you add a little for the fact that it was at a pro day.
Yeah, it'd be at a pro day. Right.
Still mid four fives.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, plenty enough speed. So is what I'm saying. So he obviously showed that he has, you know, plenty enough speed for that. I did not see the same level of instincts, though, in terms of it. If I were to say I need a guy in the box who could almost be a secondary field general to my Mike, I don't see Hicks as that particular guy. But if I need a guy who can be productive in the box and we're taking away the thinking part, then yes, I do see that. Short area quickness, not as high level. But if you're given, in the case of the box safeties or the complementary safety to X, I would stack Bishop. And then, believe it or not, I still can't take Cam completely out of my group. I just can't put him back there in the as the eraser position. I probably would put him down in the box and see how he works out if I can get him at a low enough draft pick. So I still see Hicks as being a productive NFL player. I just don't see him on the same level as Bishop at this point.
Well, let's talk about that real quick. The Tyler Newbin and the Cam Kitchens of it all, because you know, we talked about, I think, you know, Newbin and Kitchens have been the top two safeties in this class on a consensus basis. You know, when you look at Doesn't matter whose rankings you're looking at. I mean, those guys have in general been either safety one or
they were the ones.
Yeah.
Right.
Kitchens just tanked the combine and
stunk. It stunk. There's no other way to put it. That was horrible.
And things got a little bit better at his pro day, but not enough. And then Newbin, you know, I've got people close to the Minnesota program. I was told he, you know, basically said my knee is 85-90%, but I want to compete. Well, young man, you might have just cost yourself millions of dollars by going out there and competing, because I don't see a 9 or 8, 8.5 RAS guy when I watch him on film, but I see like a 6 or 7. You know, I see an average or slightly above average athlete. Right. And for him to go do agilities and run and vert on a knee that's not 100%, and right, you know, maybe it only added 0.2 seconds to this. Maybe it only cost him 2 inches on the vert, but all of that matters. It matters.
This is the time of year, okay? And I think this is a great year for us to have this conversation, Ross, because think about what the top guys did. So you're talking about guys that teams are probably going to have to commit upwards of $30, $40 million to, guaranteed. They told those teams, nope, we're not working out. We're not doing anything. And they are still going to go in the top five. So as a team, meaning your agent, your marketing people, your attorney, your like all of the people who work for you during this time, the best position they should be putting you into is to get as high as you can be drafted into the National Football League. Because after that, it's a mixed bag. You really don't know. There are some great ones who have horrible careers. There's some ones who people didn't think they were going to be worth a damn, who end up being great. So right now, you're not going to tell me that both Newbin and Kitchens people didn't know that that's what they were going to run. Because if you're telling me that they were doing great during testing and then they showed up like that, then there's something else wrong. But you all, they saw this. I know the process. You do a mock. You know what they're going to do in everything. You know what their scores are. Ross, neither of those young men should have tested. They should not have tested prior to the draft this year. They were ranked high enough. They have good enough film. They should not have tested at all. And in particular, which I really just found out, from like you sharing on Newbin, and the reason is he wasn't healthy. That's even worse. What kind of incompetent representation does he have that he would be testing not at 100%? I mean, come on now. Shoot, and Kitchens, people should have just told him he wasn't at 100% if he was going to go out there and run a 4.6. I mean, look, this is a crazy thing to say, but I just want you all to know how running a 4.65 as a safety, thinking they're going to be looked upon highly in the NFL coming in. I stopped running what was called master's track at 40. I was running in the 4.5s then. You can't go into the NFL at running a 4.65, running damn near 4.7 40, and think that anybody's gonna spend or at least invest a lot of money or draft capital on you coming in. Can they play? They might eventually be able to be players. But this right here was just, to me, it was bad representation.
No, I called it a fireable offense on the Newbin side. I mean, I don't care. I want to compete. Good. I'm proud of you. That's great. Like, I appreciate your attitude. I'm not doing it, because you might have just gone from round 2 to round 5. I mean, seriously.
Right. I mean, his people, literally, if he wanted to do it, first of all, this is why you pay for representation. They know more than you about this. Yep. But if he wanted to do it, that's what you say. No, yeah. We're not doing this.
I'll talk briefly about guys that I like more than consensus, and then we'll kind of go to you, and then we'll wrap up the show here. You know, I've been high on, even before they tested, I've been high on Bishop and Hicks. You know, Bishop tests like a free safety. I don't know if that's going to be the plan for him, but he does test like a free safety.
Like he could play it, right?
Yeah, Hicks is a box safety all day long, but tested in a way I didn't think he would. And then there's three guys that I think are interesting. I don't know, you know, from a Green Bay perspective, just because they're lighter probably than what the Packers would like to use. But when we do talk about interchangeability, there's two guys with the Georgia Bulldogs in Javon Bullard and Tyke Smith. Both are slot and free safety, Micah Hyde types. And then another guy is Jalen Simpson from Auburn, I think is another, could play some slot, could play some free. I just like the way they play football. I think Bullard and Simpson are a little bit lighter than the Green Bay, you know, Packers prefer. But those would be guys that I like more than it seems, you know, kind of consensus. So, you know, been high on Hicks, been high on Bishop, and then Bullard, Tyke Smith, and ultimately Jalen Simpson being guys that I like more than most.
Right. Well, obviously, you know, Bishop is my guy.
Yep.
Kitchens, that might have been my biggest miss, I think, since I've been doing this. There is nothing on film that would have given me the way he tested. I mean, that was a big miss on my part. And then I actually like Bullard, but I like Bullard. I have been looking at Bullard as a possible nickel.
Yeah.
Who you develop into his role, meaning to me, he's Branch right now. So you saw what the Lions did with Branch. But he's a faster Branch. So I believe that's how you would work Bullard into the mix. Out of the guys who are the unknowns, I think he is my favorite. And obviously not unknown to the NFL world. I mean, unknown to the fans as to what he's going to do and be in the NFL. To me, I believe it's nickel. I believe that he goes at nickel and he does his thing, because to me, that size is not going to play well inside. Because even if he came in and was a beast, all I get is I get Bob Sanders vibes. Look at what happened to Bob Sanders. You can't do it. You just can't keep playing in there at that size. And it's just not going to work out. So for me, you put him at nickel. He can blitz sometimes. He's going to actually be in coverage sometimes. He's kind of giving you tweener, right? He's giving you tweener reps. He's a corner safety. He's a hybrid.
Yeah.
Corner safety linebacker. So that's where I see. But those are my three. Bullard, Kitchens, and Bishop. And at this point, I'm not giving up on Kitchens as a player. I just personally know the NFL, and I know that if I were leading a personnel department, there is no way I would be able to draft Kitchens very high. I mean, he's day three right now. Where on day three would depend upon the value of the board. I mean, he's no way jumping in front of, you know, valuable draft capital in order to get his shot.
Right. Because if you're wrong, it's, you know, people will say, well, it should have been obvious. Right. I mean, it's a low percentage bet at this point. The way we finish every single one of these, and this should be a pretty easy one. I mean, especially because they seem to be, you know, they're not signing Justin Simmons. They're not signing Micah Hyde. They're not,
at least not in this round now.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
who knows right now. The second round of free agency.
So we've been ending the show. The Packers have 7 picks in the first 5 rounds, thanks to the Rodgers trade, the Douglas trade, and then the Alan Lazard comp pick. Gun to your head, do they take a safety with or before the Lazard pick?
It'll be before.
Yeah.
It'll be before.
It's an easy one. I mean, it'll be before. You know, a little bit different when we talk about wide receiver or we talk about running back or we talk about whatever, but they have to add to the safety room.
Yeah. One way or another. I don't think it's a question. And let me tell you this now, Ross. To me, I actually don't have a problem taking Bishop with that first second round pick. Well, that what is it, 41?
41, yeah.
I mean, I don't have a problem taking Bishop right there.
I would not either. All right, Tazeem, thank you so much, man. We appreciate having you on.
All right, man. Thank you. Have a great one. Go Pack, go.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for watching or listening. If you are on the podcast side, how can you help us out? Buy the Green Bay Draft Guide powered by Packer Report. Use promo code DAILY as in the daily draft for 10% off. Check me out. I'm at Ross Uglum on Twitter. Check us out at Packer Report as well. Do everything that you're supposed to do right here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube channel. Like, subscribe, click the bell, get the notifications so that you can get every ounce of Packers content that you require on a daily basis. Have an awesome rest of your day, folks, and go Pack Go.